Good afternoon, Muskegon.
Good afternoon, Muskegon.
I am Chauncey Williams.
And I'm Tony Williams.
And this is What Do I Do Now? Your guide to credit, debt, and planning for your financial success with 103.7 The Beat.
All right, Coach, man, we got so much to cover, and we don't have a whole lot of time, so we're going to get right into it.
Yes.
You know, financial news is, you know, what we do, right? We
always, yes, sir.
Spin financial news on, for our audience. One of the big things that broke this week was the Equifax, right? Equifax is the credit reporting agency that services most of the lenders in this country. So when you apply for a loan for an auto, for a home, they go to Equifax, pull your credit score, and that'll determine the kind of interest rates you receive or whether or not your application will be accepted or rejected. Well, it come to light that there was some faulty reporting done by Equifax. And a lot of people were affected by it, okay? And if you are one of those individuals, you need to be taking action as far as finding out why it happened, what effect it had on your potential loan being approved, denied, what kind of credit score you got. Because in certain cases, the report said that there were people that had good credit scores, but the report basically issued said they had no credit. So therefore, the loan was probably denied or, you know, gave you one of those ridiculously high
loans,
right.
Yeah, we're talking credit. About anything that's above 14%.
Yeah.
Is ridiculous. Anything above 10% to me is ridiculous.
You're really, absolutely right.
Really 5 if I can get it right for me, y'all.
Yeah. And you know as well as I do, you know, that we work hard at maintaining that good credit score. And if something like this happens, man, it's travesty.
Man, right? I'm tell you this, Tony. I would hate to be someone that don't know about my credit report, right?
Yep.
Because I've been seeing this a lot on social media lately, people trying to go out the business credit.
Yeah.
And I tell them, if your business is not generating at least 40 grand a year, stay away.
Yeah, don't get it. Don't.
Stay away. And so people don't bother with me when I tell them that. They're like, oh, you know, business credit? I say, yeah. Are you generating 40 grand a year?
Yep. Good threshold.
They say, why? I was like, you're going to need that if you're going to try to have business credit.
Mm-hmm.
Because that means you're at least doing at least $3,500 a month in business.
Right.
So if you're not at least doing $3,500 a month in business, I would leave business credit alone. But then you're talking about Equifax. So, you know, they do look at your personal credit, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you got to think people that's trying to transition to having a business loan to do some business and probably have the right financials, and they pull the Equifax. Equifax has one of the business credit scores too now. So we're in that space. But then I just want to say this, because I remember the years of having bad credit. You know,
been there, done that.
Coming out the hood and getting a high interest loan and a dealer telling me, hey, Chauncey, get this loan, make your credit better. I'm like, okay, I trust you. Get this car loan, it's going to improve my credit history. That was a lie. So then I look and I think about the ways I can do it where I can take my own chances on myself without large sums of money, right? Installment loans and things like that. But then just think about that person, Tony, that don't know about credit, and they go and say, I'm making this much money.
Mm-hmm.
I can afford a payment of this much. And they sit in front of a lender, and the lender don't know that Equifax is reporting wrong.
Nope.
So you coming in, not doing your due diligence, sitting down with a lender for a house, for a big ticket item like a car, or somebody looking at your credit report for employment,
mm-hmm.
Because they do that
now. They do that, yes, sir.
Right, because everything is HIPAA, and it's information, and it's software that they looking at. So they got to be able to find people they trust when it comes to going into their database. So the credit score is the first reference that they check.
Yeah.
Because you're spending money, right? So I look at this, and I say, okay, this person sits down, gets the car loan, gets a home loan, but they get overcharged.
Yeah.
Now, we're not talking about overcharged at one time. We're talking about getting overcharged for 36 months,
or 30 years.
10 years.
Yeah.
Because car loans going up for 10 years. And I'm thinking like, wow, Tony, inflation though. Everything is 30 to 40% higher right now.
Yes, it is.
And you buy something, and you don't even have to do the due diligence to know everything on your credit report is reporting the right space. So now you end up getting ripped off.
That's exactly what happens, man. So, you know, the government back in the late 90s made it mandatory that these credit reporting agencies allow you to pull your credit score at least once per year for your
for
credit
free.
Report for free. And everybody needs to do that. Look for things that don't look right on that, don't look right on your credit score. Okay, so again, this is another example of, you know, some of the pitfalls when it comes to credit, which is nothing that you did wrong, but it's the fact that these reporting agencies erroneously gave information to these lenders, and they need to make it right.
Unless you're right about that.
They so if need you got to. A loan, you need to go back and say, hey, we got to go back to the drawing board. We're going to have to cancel this loan and start over. And whatever cost it is, send that check. Send that bill to Equifax so they can pay it.
Yeah, they will. The difference. They'll have to pay the difference if they pull that credit report. And a lot of times they say it on your contract when you buy something, they say the credit report that they pull.
Yeah.
And sometimes they pull all three, sometimes they pull one. If they pull all three, I still turn into Equifax like, look, I got
it. Oh, no doubt.
That's what happened to me. We need to go through and redo this loan or go to a credit union or somewhere where you possibly can get it and make that happen. But it's just, it's a sad case. I see so many people it go is. Through it all the time, Tony, and where they just got to have some.
Yeah.
Right? I got the shiny thing outside of my life. I got this thing that I really don't need. I'm overpaying for it. And I'm just going to say this. I don't know if it's learning about finances made me become so frugal or to the point I don't care about certain stuff outside of who I am as a man. I just don't. I might move by that.
Right. Well, you made that transition in life, right? There was a point in time in life where that
yes.
those kind of things.
They did matter.
Yeah. They piqued your interest and, you know, you wanted to be a part of that.
Yeah.
But as you get older, you realize the power of wealth.
Man.
Financial wealth and independence.
Yep.
And independence means that if there are certain things that I want, I don't have to use credit.
Yes.
I can pay cash because I have accumulated that kind of wealth.
Yeah. Or you just figured out like, oh, I can do this for a shorter term if you're gonna lend out some money going. Because I've been thinking about the phrase "owe no man." You know, like, you know, "owe no man nothing," right?
Right.
And that's freedom.
It is.
When you owe no man nothing, and you can get to the point where your ego becomes to the point where you're trying to learn.
Yep.
You're trying to expand. And I'm not talking about learning, just picking a book up, just learning about yourself health-wise, from travel, being able to do some things local or globally to say, I want to do this with my life, instead of saying, I got this thing. And I can go back to my early 20s, Tony, and where I used to look at my bills, and I had all the shiny stuff, but I was financing all of it. Like, I get a check, and I pay everything at the end of the month. I'm like, man, I gave my money to somebody else.
Okay, you're working for somebody else, right?
Yeah. But then I had the keys to this, I had the keys to that, and that didn't set with me too well. That's kind of like, I'm working for somebody sitting at home.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely, man.
Somebody sitting at home and I'm using a product and they done overcharged me because my credit was bad and I'm driving something that I can't afford. I'm living in somewhere I can't afford. And at the end of the month, I'm like, I got to go back to work. I got to hurry up and get to this job because I ain't got nothing.
Paycheck to paycheck.
Man. That's why I like the Equifax. And then, you know, like, and I'm saying this, my community, because we the black and brown people and lots of times that when something happens in a large problem like this with Equifax, Tony, when it's global, somebody catches sniffles outside of our demographic. But when we get it, it becomes a pandemic.
It's a pneumonia.
Yes, it's a deathly flu. Like, you miss a couple paychecks or you got an interest rate that's too high, it'll put you in poverty. You get repo. You get something snatched.
It's interesting you mention that because we don't know what the demographics are for this Equifax.
For the victims of the Equifax.
Yeah. You know, there's got to be, at some point in time, there's got to be some type of demographic breakdown to see who these people are that were affected. And it would be interesting to see
who
these people are, right?
Yes, sir.
So that, I would hope that some congressman would implore the rest of the constituents to look at what happened here. How can this happen? How can we make sure this doesn't happen again? Because unfortunately, everything you do in this country, in some form or fashion, your credit is tied to it.
Every time.
So it's a big deal, man.
Yeah. I mean, you know, we just had somebody win the $1.2. I see. The $1.28 billion lottery the other day.
Right.
Right. And then I think when it was, when they took the lump sum, how much would it be?
The lump sum was $648 million. That was the lump sum. That's after, you know, taxes and half. So that's pretty much half, right? Now, the option,
it costs,
right?
$2 to get a ticket, though.
So, right, $2 a ticket.
If I trade $600 million for $2.
Okay, so now, the other option, right, because you always got two options.
Annuity, right.
Lump sums and the payout. The payout is a 30%, I mean 30 years, and you get $22 million a year for 30 years.
All right, so
depending on your age will determine, I would think, how you handle that, right? Yeah. If you're in your 20s, maybe your 30s, to me,
give me 30 years.
Give me the 30 years. You know, the lump sum is a lot of money, of course, like you said, 648, that's a lot to say no to.
Yeah.
I guess I don't know enough about all the ins and outs of a lottery. Are you able to will, right? Can you put in your will?
The annuity?
Yeah.
I don't think annuity. So. I think once you're gone, it's over.
It's over? Okay.
So I think that's what I've heard. I'm not, don't take me for granted, audience.
Yeah. So if that's the case, then yeah. Because, yeah. I mean, it's either way, it's a win-win, right?
But you should have an estate, though, right? So your estate should get that.
You would think. That's what I mean. You know,
if I think that's what they would have, yeah.
Young enough, but even at $648 million, at 10% interest, right? And we'll go even, we'll just say 5% interest a year, right? So 648, so that would be $6.5 million in interest that you would receive every year if you just invested the principal, which still ain't a bad deal.
$6.48 million
a year. That was it. You would, if you took the lump and put it into a interest bearing account that would pay you 5%.
Yes, sir.
And you just live off the interest. You know, you're still getting $6 million a year.
Yeah, so that's my plan right there. That's me. So, okay. Like, that's what I thought. And I'm going to say this because, like, I used to be impressed with, as a teenager, impressed with sports figures, right?
Yeah.
I used to read it like, Kenny Anderson, Isaiah Thomas, Magic Johnson. I ain't named Michael Jordan because I'm Detroit fan.
I ain't get no love.
I got my first pair of Jordan when I was probably in 12th grade, so I wasn't thinking about Mike. But I'm going to say this. Like, I really admire Jeff Bezos' ex-wife.
Oh,
Scott,
yeah.
Scott. I admire her. I really admire her. He gave her, had to give her so many billions of dollars, right?
Yeah, yeah. She got something like $10 billion, I think, was the split.
So here go my thinking. Like, I thought just like you. I said, okay, I'm taking the payout, right? I got a whole year to claim it. And I'm talking to my lawyers.
Yep.
I'm setting up my trust. And the first thing I'm doing is I'm taking a portion of it. I would say a tenth of it, and I'm looking out for my family.
Okay.
A tenth of it, right? After I talk to my lawyer and figure out what I can do. So then a tenth.
That's a billion.
Yep. Right? It's a billion. So you're looking at a tenth of it is $600 million. So a tenth of it, I'm like $60 million. I'm going to look at it and see, figure out how I'm going to spread it through my family. Mm-hmm. But not giving it to them. Like, it's going to be somewhere in the bank or something and say, hey, the bank going to call them. And I ain't going to have nothing to do with it.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
It's the first step. And it's stuff that you really got to talk about, audience, because we do get windfalls. So I've had a couple windfalls in my life. I just haven't had a billion one.
No, I have not either.
So we have to speak them into existence, right?
Okay.
Yeah, at the outline. So that's the first thing. So the second thing is, I really like Scott. I really like him. My friend had actually received, I think, $22 million from her.
Wow.
One of my friends is a CEO of a company. And he was on the phone with me, and he was checking some accounts with his business, right? And he's in the east side of the state. And he ended up, look, he said, hold on, John. I was like, what? He said, I heard a company just got a gift for $22 million from Scott Bezos' wife. I was like, I said, that's in your company, man, come. He said, he's just there.
Wow.
And I was just like, so when I thought about it, that's probably the first person I would contact and say, hey, I want to do the work you're doing for my people.
Okay.
I want a gift like that. Because I know, and you know, we done looked at financial stuff for so long that depending on where I'm living at now, if I upgrade, I don't think I would upgrade to a mansion, but I would upgrade to a penthouse condo. I would.
Oh, yeah.
I would live. The whole floor would be mine, right? I would be in that space of saying, well, what could $10 million do for me? And when you said the number 6.48, I'm talking about $10 million for the rest of my life. Mm-hmm. So 6.48 every year is something that I can generate, or $4 million I can generate every year.
Yep.
And still be in a lifestyle where they just think I'm Chauncey.
Like that's generational wealth.
Yeah.
Right?
I wouldn't want nobody to know I got it. I probably would just upgrade my vehicle, or probably would change the motor and everything and still ride. And like, and I would say this, everybody like, you crazy. And I would make an arrangement to still do the current job I'm doing in a different capacity, where I wouldn't say I'm volunteering, but I would be a consultant or a contractor at support mm-hmm. of the space of building careers and jobs for tomorrow's next generation. Because I had a bag that I'm already giving away.
Right.
To the industries and the partnerships, and I say, hey, what do y'all need? I need this to make this partnership happen. I'm like, oh, I'm here. I'm in this space. And then train somebody else to do my current job.
Right.
I wouldn't want to just disappear, because having all that money and just being able to have idle time, that's a devil.
Yeah, yeah, and that's not what your calling is, right? Your calling is to help people.
That's it. That's everybody's, right?
Yeah, it should be.
Yeah.
It should be. And, you know, back to what you were saying about giving this money away. And I guess, you know, there might be some audience that's listening and saying, well, why would they give that much away? The reason they do it is they're saying, well, if I don't give it away, then I'm going to have to give it to the government in taxes.
Anyway.
So I may as well get ahead of this thing and give it to a worthy cause for people that are doing the things that I think that we should be doing for each other. And I want to contribute to that.
Yep.
So that's why people give money away, is to basically avoid being taxed for it.
Yeah, because look at the influence you would have and the boards you would probably sit on.
Oh, man.
And where your voice would matter, because the numbers that you got behind your voice.
Absolutely.
That's wealth to me. Sitting at a table and saying, hey, we're going to do this. Chauncey voted on this. Tony voted on this. Yeah, we had it.
Yeah.
You know, he got dollars behind what he say.
Right. This isn't our mission statement. You know,
that's
our mission statement is to help communities like the work that you're doing.
Yep.
Right?
Yes, that's what we want to do.
And there's always a need for facilities, equipment, those kinds of things. And the budgets that, you know, school districts are working with are limited.
Limited. Or you have to wait. You have to hurry up and wait. Or you have to look at it and say, okay, how can I structure $400-500 million in a way where I'm generating 4.5 for myself every year off interest. What can I give away out of the $500 million up front?
Yep.
After I take care of my family, do I give another $100 million away? And then do out of the $4.5 million I'm making a year, do I give $1.5 million away every year?
Every year.
Just like random. Like I go in the gas station and say, oh, this gas free today on me for
okay.
everybody. You know, just that's me.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, oh, I got another 4.5 coming next year. So if I give 1.5 away and I'm living off 3, imagine what you could do. You somewhere, you like in a restaurant, like, oh, hey, what's today? What's today's? We had our occupancy, it's 148 people. How much that usually cost? Like $10,000. All right, here go my $300 for my bill. Here go $13,000. Take your skills up a tip. Just the joy of just doing that, but not everybody knowing you doing.
Yeah, it's, you know, anonymous.
Yeah. That's what I would want to do.
You sit back and look.
Yeah.
And watch.
And he'd be like, why would you want to do that? I'm like, because it ain't about me riding in the best car. It ain't about me living on top of a mansion. It's about me just being in the hedges and the highways and doing stuff to people. Because a lot of times when we encounter people, Tony, they in the bottom places. They done failed. They hurt. And you have these millions of dollars, and you hear everything in your life is taken care of, right?
Mm-hmm.
And as everything in your life is taken care of, you go into a gas station. You go on a trip somewhere, right?
Right.
Right? You go on a trip somewhere, and you see somebody. You're like, oh, hey, man. What? Right? Or you see a young lady with her son, and they at a car dealership, and they looking at a lemon. And you're like, no. I'm going over that lot.
Okay.
It's already taken care of.
Yeah.
What? This is his first car? Yes, my first car. Okay, just talk to the manager. All right, taking care of it, pick out something. You know, just the stuff like that.
That's joy, right?
Yeah, boy, that's what I want to happen. So just thinking in that capacity. And this is me. And we're not getting off on a different tangent, but it is a financial show. And financially free means I want to be to the point of being free where I can give it all away.
Yes.
And I heard that from Dale Carnegie, right? Dale Carnegie had put a letter in his he had a journal. And in his journal, he said, Tony, he said this. He said, I spent half of my life amassing a wealth, I think, of like $244 million.
Okay.
Right? So now they say it'd be like $3 billion. And he said, I'm going to spend the second half of my life giving it all away.
Giving it all away.
And when I keep on hearing that and I start seeing it from the Scotts and Bezos and all these other people.
Yeah, Melinda Gates, Melinda Gates, our guy, Warren Buffett.
Yeah, look how happy they be.
Saying they giving their money away, man.
They be laughing. They be, I'm like, damn, they so happy. And that's it.
That's it, man.
Joy.
That's it, joy.
Joy, man.
It's awesome, man. And we're talking about other people, but what we're saying is that if we were blessed with those kinds of opportunities.
When we become.
Yeah, we would do the same thing.
Yep, when. The win for me. I'm speaking to the now. The win we become.
Awesome, man. But yeah, it was kind of interesting too. The backstory on this was the ticket was purchased in Des Plaines, Illinois.
Yes.
Which is outside of Chicago, but right next to O'Hare Airport. So they don't know if the individual stopped in with a rental car to fill up before he took it back.
Yeah.
And just said, hey, throw me a lottery ticket. And then get on the plane and fly back to wherever they're from. Because every state does not have the mega lottery, whatever it is. So, and as of today, I haven't heard anything about that person coming forward yet.
They got a year, though, right?
Oh, yeah. You got a year.
I wait a year.
So, if they're smart, they're getting all their ducks in order.
Yep.
So, when they do claim that bad boy, everything is all set. You know, the other piece to it is, a lot of times you have to become public with it, right?
Yeah.
You can't remain anonymous to collect the money.
I think in Illinois you can pay 30% of it to remain anonymous. I think.
Okay. If they're from Illinois.
Yeah. Right? You're right. You got to be a resident.
Yeah. So we don't know what state they're from.
That's dangerous.
And statistically, I don't think anybody from Michigan has ever won the big prize.
No.
Right? And the last winner was back in April. So this
for 128 or something.
Like that. This lottery thing here, man, it grows over a course of time. That's how you get up to this huge number. But it just tells you, man, that it is such a long shot, right? It's a long shot.
It's a long
and
shot.
And it's probably like being struck by lightning twice in the same day.
Yeah.
How often is that going to happen? Well, not very often. But, you know, when people buy these things, some do it just out of pure, you know, joy, pleasure, right? We just want to throw $2 away.
Yeah.
But there's others that probably spend an enormous amount of money trying to win these things.
$300 or whatever. I know I do it when I buy gas. If I stop at the gas station, that's what I do. I'm like, all right.
Yeah. Yeah, but I'm not that guy that.
Yeah, I'm not looking for it. I'm not looking for it like, oh, I need it.
I got to go get this ticket. I got to get this. Convenience for
me. It's what I'm saying on air. That's what I want to do. Like, Muskegon Community Foundation, y'all going to get a bag from me, and we're going to sit down and figure out how I can be on y'all board and how we can get all my money away.
Man.
That's it. That's what I want to do.
Man. I would be that guy.
Is. Yeah, I just, yeah. I want the structure to say I want to give it all away.
Yeah.
You know?
That's it.
That's it. So,
sometimes they say, that's why we would never win it, right?
Yeah.
That's why we would never.
I ain't speaking myself out of it. I don't say never. But a 30-year plan is not in my window. But, you know, speaking of 30-year plan, we had our midterm elections yesterday in Muskegon.
Yes, we did, man. In the state, you know, there's a lot of interesting races.
I'm going to say one of them I'm disappointed about because my man stood up to Trump.
Peter Meyer.
I think my Michigan let him down. Because he knew somebody, like you said earlier, had blood on their hands.
Yeah.
I said, hell up, you're not doing that right. And then they put a brother in his space.
Yeah.
So they got the blackface to do the shucking and jiving instead of Pete Myers.
Pete Myers, yeah.
I'm going to say it on air. That's what they did. They put the blackface in front.
Yep. And our boy endorsed him. And Peter, he released a statement this morning basically saying that, you know, for his principles, his morals, what he stands for cost him his political career, but he's okay
with that. I can live with that.
I can live with that because I did what my heart and what my soul told me to do. That was right because he was part of the 11 that voted to impeach 45.
That's right.
Which was the right thing to do. But it's also disturbing that
they turned his back on him.
People would continue to support the platform of an individual that led an insurrection in his country and has blood on his hands from the people that died as a result of that insurrection. You can get behind that and you can support that. I got a real problem with that. For those people to say that they support this man, because if you do, you're not a friend of mine, because it's not about politics.
No, it's not.
Okay? It's about what's right. You got to do the morally right things, man. And what he did was immoral. It was on the verge of, criminal, really. The man should be brought up on charges. But yet he's out here endorsing all these people, and people are getting behind him and voting. Tudor, right?
Yeah.
The lady that's...
I was going to say that next. But look, I'm going to say this. So you see they got the brother in, right?
Token.
Yep, Token. Then they slid a woman in. They said, oh, you want a woman? We got you a woman. We got a woman business owner.
Yep.
Look. But then all the way up to the point where Trump endorsed her.
Yep.
A week ago.
Just a week ago.
A week ago. Is that all a setup?
Yeah.
So then now I run my ads aggressively in that week after I get endorsed. And all it is I'm the puppet of Trump.
Yeah. Yeah, and the platforms they're running on, patriating the school systems, right? Oh, Bessie DeVos, by the way, too, endorsed the Tudor lady.
Yeah.
So November, it's going to be very interesting.
The clown game is in.
To see if the state of Michigan, along with other states, Arizona, Kansas, Georgia, are truly behind this Trumpism, because it's not Republicans, right? Let's make this perfectly clear. These are not Republicans. These are Trumpsters, people that support his platform. And people that are true Republicans should not be voting for these individuals because they stand for the wrong stuff.
You're right.
So we had a couple local, right? Judges. Appointment was up from our latest indications. Judge Pittman was able to win that race, which puts it at a two-man race, Queso in November.
Yep, Queso and Judge Pittman.
Judge Pittman.
They got some beef too, don't they, right now?
Yeah.
So now the beef about to really come out.
Yeah, he has, I won't say he has, but there was some, vandalism of signs of Judge Pittman.
Yeah, I saw those on social media.
Yeah.
But then also, I know they had a debate, too. It was some
well, it's going to be more now.
Yeah, it was some things said, and then, so it's about to get down.
Yeah. As our boy Kevin Hart said, it's about to go down.
It's about to go down.
It's about to go down.
Because then whoever the man is of integrity will win out.
Oh, yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. And, if you didn't vote in the midterms for whatever reason, don't let that happen when it comes to the general election in November. These are going to be important appointments that come out of it because, like I said, we have a governor race, and you don't want Tudor as our governor.
No, we don't.
May not like all the things that Gretchen did, but
we got a surplus. We got $7 billion surplus in Michigan.
Surplus, but I think she did what she thought was right for the people of the state of Michigan. Okay, and that brings me to this before we close. The pandemic, right? She shut down the state of Michigan, shut the schools down.
She saved lives.
But her life was threatened, okay? There were a group of militia people that were actually talking about taking her life.
And business owners were threatened.
And business owners.
Yeah, they were mad.
So now, here today...
Supply chain people.
Yep. We got numbers are creeping back up. I can tell you in the last week, I know 10 people that have tested positive just the last week, even children. Okay, that's not just only in this state, but across the country.
It's growing.
So
it's surging.
This variant is coming back. But what has happened is, because of all the rhetoric that took place during the first pandemic, these political leaders are afraid now to come back with the mask mandates. As far as enforcing those, you know, they went to the Supreme Court and said that these individuals did not have that power. So it's going to be up to individuals going forward as to how they treat this new surge that's coming. Even the numbers, they're not even reporting the numbers like they did in the past. So we're on a critical pathway because we only got another month before school starts. And if we're not taking the necessary steps to protect ourselves and each other, we're going to have a massive outbreak of COVID, not only in our community, but our country. And then as you talked about earlier, now we've got this other monkeypox is starting to spread.
55 cases in our state.
Okay.
Now that's reported though.
So that's reported.
When it's reported 55, if somebody ain't got no insurance in the hood, it's triple. It's probably 200-300 people out there with it.
Yeah. And I was told about an individual that because you know they talked about it was being in the homosexual community.
Yes.
Spreading. But I know of an individual that works in an area, in a metropolitan area, that works at a gas station, and the gas station serves a lot of homeless people. Well, she contracted monkeypox through the handling of money that was brought in to the business. So again, that says you have to take the precautions to, if you're handling money and you're in a business where you handle money, you got to start wearing your gloves.
Cash in society, mask.
Your mask, you know, putting up the barriers again. So as an individual, it's not going to come from a state, local. You got to take it upon yourselves to protect yourself and your family by using the precautions to help not contract either one of these diseases.
Man, frontline workers, it's rough.
Yeah, it is, truly is, because now when you roll up on a situation, as a frontline EMS, police officer, firefighter, and you're actually dealing with people, you have no clue. All right, before we had all the precautions in place, people showed up, they had their mask on, they were using their gloves, your PPE, personal protection equipment. Mm. But we've gotten laxed, right, because of all the backlash from wearing your mask, right? On a plane last week, I wore my mask the entire time, and I had a friend, again, that was on a plane and didn't, well, he said he, you know, he didn't have his mask on all the time. And he got back to home and he tested positive for COVID. So it's like the planes, the airlines are not enforcing it, but you as an individual, you can do it.
Yeah, if you get caught with it, that's on you.
Yeah, people look at you strange, that's okay. Let them do that. But you got to protect yourselves.
Yeah, you're right. That's our show for the day. I'm Chauncey Williams.
I'm Tony Williams.
And this is What Do I Do Now, your guide to credit, debt, and planning for your financial success with 103.7 The Beat.